Then we got on that train, and the Frenchman was going to run the train. It was a French train. He's running it. Our officer didn't know a damn thing where he's going. He was fresh from the States here, too. And, he just had a piece of paper telling him which outfit we're going to. But he told the Frenchman, I don't know where we're supposed to go, and we're supposed to make it in 3 days. We had 3 days' rations on the train. But we were on the road only the one first day, and about the middle of the night, the train stops in one town. We stop in different towns, for coal. We shoot the coal down on it, in it. And this Frenchman, he stops, and he tells our officer that it's his hometown. He said, and that's where his wife is. And he said, I'm going to go see my wife. So, what could he do? He let him go. He walked away, but he didn't come back in the morning. A different Frenchman came around. He said, he's going to run the train. Well, so what could we do? He gets on there, and he puts the old levers on, and he choo-choos away. I helped him run up there for a while. I get tired of sitting, and I got up there, and that locomotive, and I'd help him run it, because he wasn't very good. He wasn't very fair to the GIs. I had a 10-minute break, in case they had to relieve themselves, along the tracks. We'd stop someplace in the country like that for about 10 minutes, and supposed to be, and then everybody could get back on, and then we'd stop to eat once in a while, too, pull the rations out of the train. We were just traveling along. This Frenchman, though, that got on to run it, he must have decided that he wants to see Belgium, because that isn't where we were supposed to go, but that's where we were heading. That's where we ended up. And in 3 days, we were out of food, and we were in the middle of Belgium, where the big war had been through, with our GIs were on the way into Germany by that time, pushing the Germans back into Germany, but there was those big battles in there. The people had been gone, and everything was gone. There was nobody around. We didn't see no American soldier. We didn't see no people. We didn't see nothing. That's where he took us. The tracks were still, good enough to go on, so he kept going. But we didn't have no food. We didn't have any food. There was, for 2 more days, we had no food, and he just going. That's where I helped him run that damn train, that engine, because, when the guys are supposed to get off and have a chance to relieve themselves, why, he wouldn't wait sometimes. He's supposed to give 2 toots, one to get ready and one we're going to go. See, he'd just toot and shoot the damn lever into gear, and the guys had to come running with their pants hanging down on them, and they come running and getting crawling up the side of the damn train railroad. They were just nothing but cattle cars that we had to be hauled in. My buddy was in a cattle car. I was a little lucky. I was with the officers up there next to in the baggage car where we had the rations and things, and I could sleep on the duffel bags that were stacked up in there, but the holes were full in the roof from the German planes that had shot up the train before, and so when it rained right on me, but at least I had a little space. Some of the other guys were so packed in there. My buddy, I went looking for him one time when we stopped. I went down there to see where he is, and the one guy said, he's over here sleeping. They were standing on top of him. He had all his big packs on his back and stuff, It was just packed them in there that tight. Well, anyway, that Frenchman, he had us all mixed up. See, he's taking us to the wrong place. And then we get to see old bombed out cities and towns, and it was really a mess. And then pretty soon the railroad tracks were bombed out, and we couldn't go anymore. He couldn't go. That was it. The railroad tracks were blew up. So, in the meantime, then from there, there was a Red Cross truck came running by, so our officer flagged it down and told him our predicament, that we don't know where the heck we are. We don't know where we're supposed to go. We know which outfit we're supposed to go to, but we don't know where it is, and we don't know nothing, really. So they said they'll get us help, and they sent over a bunch of trucks. After the Red Cross trucks picked us up in Belgium, and they drove us over to the Rhine River. On the way, we went through Aachen, which was a city that was bombed and demolished. It was really quite a sight. There were no people in the town, a big city, and they were coming in from the countryside, coming back. And then we got to the General Hodges pontoon bridge on the Rhine River, which all the other main bridges were blown up by the Germans. So we had to cross over on that Rhine River on the pontoon bridge, built out of pontoons and planks. And so that the Germans wouldn't be able to blow it up, from the water was coming down from the north, flowing to the south. On the north of the pontoon bridge, they had several GIs with guns and shooting
steadily into the water, into the river, keeping a steady stream of bullets going day and night above that pontoon bridge, because they could have sent some kind of an explosive down the river and blow it up on us, and so that had to be done that way. Bonn was quite a nice looking city with a lot of rich people, the way it appeared, and we had to watch out for the civilians because they were very dangerous. They carried hand grenades in their pockets or in their briefcases, and if they got a chance to throw them at a couple of American soldiers, they would do so. So every time we saw one with his hand in his pocket or carrying a briefcase, we would point our rifle at him and search him and see if they had anything like that on him. The German soldiers were up ahead of us, hidden away in the woods, and I never got in contact with them at that time. So then